Okay, the we left off, we had a chakira about the nature of, Kiddushin. Was it really a hekdesh with just some of the process was technically learned from Kenya, and that word is only really shayach to some ways of doing the process, not to the fundamental nature of what's going on. And we saw that particularly in the Avnei Miluim and the Ramban and the Ritva and Gittin, etc. Or are we really dealing with a Kenyan, which also has Isser implications? So you can't deny the Isser side, because that's otherwise it would lead to absurdities. But really, we are dealing with the Kenyan. And we saw that in Tosos, Tosos Rosh Subos, and in the Pnei Yoshua, etc. And if we really are dealing with the Kenyan, we asked, what kind of Kenyan is this? And we saw a minority shita in the Rashba that indicated that this Kenyan has mumnis implications as well, and really is does bring it closer to Abdushor B'chamoro. And a more mainstream approach that the Kenyan is not a Kenyan in terms of the financial general relationship, but a Kenyan specifically in terms of the marriage, the Ishus, which might be focused, according to the Tziv, he said it's focused on the actual rights to marital intimacy, which he said end up the husband and wife have equal rights to be intimate with one another. However, one comes from a Kenyan and one comes from a Torah-imposed obligation, or the possibility, which was not directly associated with the Kenyan, but that Rav Moshe made a learned many halachic implications from the Tosfos later on in our perek, that perhaps it's just to have a to live together in household, to become a family, and that is the content of the Kenyan. Or as we saw in the Ran, the Meiri, basically the continuation of the Meiri, the fellows pointed out to me, maybe you could read it in different ways, but the Ran seemed pretty clear. The Kenyan is just that she won't marry anyone else. Which then brings the gap between Kenya and Isser, in the, given that there's such a phrase as Kenya and Isser, makes that very subtle or porous. What I just wanted to end with was the possibility that perhaps in the process of Kiddushin, don't look at it as just making a Kenya. Implications for Isser as well, or just creating an Isser, maybe there's two steps. Maybe one can actually separate these two dinim in Kiddushin. Maybe there's a Kenyan and a Hekdesh in Kiddushin, and there's Tvei Dinim in Kiddushin, and we could actually see separating these two steps in some circumstances. Where do we see these two dinim as separate elements? So perhaps in two places. Number one, the Netziv suggests, and the interesting thing about Netziv, besides his shot in the Kenyan, also in the second half of that Shuvah, the Netziv that I gave you, he suggests that sometimes you could have one aspect without the other aspect. Right? Sometimes you could have the Hekdesh without the Isser, without the Kenyan, suggested the Netziv. And Netziv actually gave, I think, three cases where you could have a hektish aspect without the Kenyan. So if we were to say, you know, it's a Isser, hektish, or a Kenyan, it's a Kenyan, then we could say that, no, it's basically a Kenyan with a side effect of Isser. Again, I'm never going to deny the Isser, because that's just a fact. Or we could say, no, it's really two separate dinim. Two separate dinim, which usually come together, but don't necessarily have to be coextensive, aren't really the same thing. Two separate dinim, which could be imagined separately. This is clearly the opinion. Number one, the Netziv says that you can sometimes create the answer aspect without the Kenyan aspect. You can create the answer aspect without the Kenyan aspect. And he gives three examples there of cases where, in his opinion, you've created an answer aspect of Kedushin without any Kenyan whatsoever. What are those three examples? His three examples are, I think this is the order in which he says it. Number one, he says, what about Chayvei Lavan? After all, I can be Mekadosh, Kedushin is Tofsim, and a girl who it's usher for me to be intimate with. Now, you might have said, okay, the fact that it's usher is not my problem. I'm not so firm. Doesn't matter to me. But the Nesiv says, no, no, no. If it's usher to sleep with a woman, then clearly there can't be such thing as having the right to do so, if that is anti-halachic. He even went so far as to say there's a havmin in the Gemara that you could even have thesis kedushin chayvei krisus. We don't paskin that way, but there's even such an opinion, minority opinion in the Tanaim. How could there be thesis kedushin in a woman who it's usher for me to sleep with? And I might have said, I have the right to sleep with her. I just can't use that right. But that's not what he says. He says, number one, chayvei lavin. If a kohen's mekadesh a grusha, or if I'm mekadesh, I don't know, a mitzris or a mamzeres, etc., then I do not have the right to be intimate with her, because the Torah doesn't allow me to take that right. Rather, I just made her usher to everyone else. But he's basically saying, if I marry someone who's usher to me, I don't have any rights. I don't get anything out of that. I merely create the isser. That's his first chiddush. His second chiddush is he applies this as well to a very strange Rambam, which Rav Chaim talks about in another aspect as well. But Mekadesh Ubar. The Gemara has a whole discussion. Can I be Mekadesh by giving money to the father? A unborn baby girl before she's born. So the Gemara has a whole discussion, ties into the sugya, perhaps with the Shlomo Leolam, etc. And the Rambam has a funny formulation. He says the Kedushin is Tofsin, but later I should do Kedushin again just to make sure that it's a Kedushin Shein Bo Dofi, there's no flaw in the Kedushin. So what does this mean? So again, one could have interpreted this to just mean he wasn't so sure. It's maybe, maybe not. So it's toe-faced, but do it again. You know, just as a suffix, whether or not it's chal. Rav Chaim understood it, and the Tziv understood it, as no, it's not the Rambam the suffix. It's that it's one aspect is chal, and one aspect is not chal. The Rav Chaim's formulation we're not going to get into now, and it's not so clear. And if you got a chance to look at the Kunshus Shirim in the brackets, he seemed to understand in a very different direction than the Tziv. But the Tziv says, what was chal, what wasn't? And Isser was chal, but you can't talk about a Kenyan being chal if she's not even born yet. How can I actually, like, have any relationship here? How can I have any, like, you can't really talk about, like, I now have something in marriage, but an Isser can be chal anytime. That's a formal chalos. So he says, Mekadosh Uber is not a real Kedushin. It's only one din of Kedushin. It's like Chayvei Lavin. I don't actually acquire the right to any relationship here, not because it's forbidden, just because it's so impractical in the world, but I can create a chalos of Isser. And he says the same thing. He says, Yibum. Yibum. Balkarcha. Really, Yibum can be Balkarcha of the man or the woman, right? Yibum has such a power that even if they both don't agree and are forced or mistaken or etc., it's chal. So the Gemara there says that even though Yibum is chal, Shalom Yidaita Va'ones, right? Yibum is chal, Bein Barotzim Yiv'ones, that's the Perikin. Vamos HaBol Yivento, Bein Barotzim Yiv'ones, etc., etc., is Bein Mezid, Bein Meshogeg, is chal. The Gemara there concludes, well, you have some nafkumi, some for something is chal, for something it isn't chal. Again, how would you understand that? You might say they just made Xerat Rabbanon on certain things. But the Tziv understands in a more fundamental way. No, there's two aspects. And he says, is the Kenyan, come on, Kenyan's not going to be chal if the people don't agree. Well, I force this woman into Yibum, she doesn't even agree, and I'm going to have a Kenyan. That he thinks is too hard to imagine. However, an Isser, you know, an Isser is not really hers or my decision anyway. It's Hashem's decision, the Isser, that it should be chal in some circumstances and not in other circumstances. Usually Hashem decides the Isser should only be chal if both want it to be chal. And in this weird case, He decided it should be chal. Anyway, so in these three examples, says the Netzev, you don't have to agree with him. You could all explain all these differently. He says you can actually separate the two parts of Kedushin and, one second, Morty, and have the Isser aspect without the Kenyan aspect. He then says something very creative in the Gemara. The Gemara has a Havamina in the next line that you should be able to be Mekadesh a woman against her will. Many of us say, that's ridiculous Havamina. How could it be, really? Really a Havamina? Was this like, you know, like the cartoons of the cavemen or something? Right, the guy goes and bops her on the head and drives her by the hair back to his cave? You know, it doesn't make any sense. How could you Mekadesh a woman against her will? It just like, how would the world work? It just seems ludicrous. At least that's what many Rishonim assume, as we'll see in a moment. So the Netziv says, no, that Gemara only meant if the Isser was already chal, because it's one of these three cases, or maybe some fourth or fifth case, then it's not a crazy happening if she's Usher, the Kuli Alma, anyway, that you can make the Kenyan against her will, because Lomaisa, she's Usher everyone else anyway, so she has nothing to lose. So that's all. He even throws that into the next line in our Gemara and says, well, maybe you could do one half of the chalos now and another half of the chalos later. And then the Gemara says, if you're only doing the second part, you know, do you need her to agree? Or since you already did the first part, maybe not. That's the Chiddush Netziv. Morty.
The other two, you can look it out, but it's clearly that the father is Mekabel Kedushin. The father's Mekabel Kedushin, then it's like, why isn't he doing the Kenyan also?
It's a great question, and again, the Kiddush Yishurim actually wants to see that in a very different, almost opposite direction. It's a great question, we'll leave them at it for now. I admit that part is the least intuitive of his three examples, but he clearly holds that way. Then I just want to point to also that Tashbates has an interesting vart. The Netziv says sometimes you can create without a Kenyan aspect, and then the Tashbates is one of the last of the Rishonim. He was the Gadol Hador of North Africa, which was very, very chashuv, center of Torah at the end of the period of the Rishonim. The Shut Tashbates, he's a whole Shut there where he's just explaining Ramban and Daf Beis on Beis. The Gemara and Daf Beis on Beis says that it has to say Ha'isha Niknes, we'll see it in a moment. Why to say Ha'isha Niknes and not? Let's look in the Gemara. Says the Gemara, where were we up to? I think we're up to the end of the fourth line in the Bezum base. The Nisli Hacha Ha'ish Kone. What I understand, the Gemara already explained why. Here it says Lashon Kenyan, and there it says Lashon of Kiddushin. But why here is it Ha'isha, and there it's Ha'ish? First paragraph Ha'isha Niknes, second paragraph Ish Mekadesh. So the Nisli Hacha Ha'ish Kone. Why do you say Ha'ish Kone and Ha'ish Mekadesh? She says, by the Nisli Seifa V'Kone's Atzma, B'Dida Tananami Reisha, B'Dida. Okay, first answer is very technical, because the next line says, the woman is kones atzma, and there it's harder to say that the maybe the man is machne, especially the misabal. You know, it's hard to call the man being machne. So therefore, we want to say the woman is kones. So likewise, say the woman is niknes, just to be parallel to the seifa. Tana namreisha b'dida v'nisne ha'ish kone machne shadika misabal v'lav ihu kamachne shemayu demachne love. Right? That's as we said, right, you can't say ha'ish machne in the seifa, because that works for getting that misabal. You have to say yisha konas atzma, so the ratio is yisha niknes. B'voy zayim, the more interesting answer, itani kona hafamina filo akarcha. If we said ish kona, we would think he could be kona balkarcha. If we think it's up to him against her will. Tani yisha niknes, to midaita in, shalom midaita lo. Therefore it says yisha niknes, it's up to her whether she wants to or not. So, this brings up two questions among the Mefarshim, both of which are dealt with by the Tosus de Ramaskal E. He brings up two technical questions. According to the second answer, which we haven't analyzed the lumbus of yet, but just the technical questions, which says, Ha'ish Kona would sound like against her will. Hesse Ha'isha Nipnes to show she has to agree. So, first of all, he says, so why does it say, Hayavama Nipnes? After all, if Ha'isha Niknes means she has to agree, then Hayavama Niknes would mean she has to agree. But she doesn't have to agree. Right, so that's one question. One technical question is, Hayavama Niknes, but she doesn't have to agree. So, Tosos gives one technical explanation, the most technical. He says, we're only in the Reisha, we're so medayik. Once the Reisha said Isha Niknes, the Seifa was just Agav Reisha, said Hayavama Niknes. And how can you do that? Because Niknes can really go either way. So he picked Isha Niknes to show she has to agree. And then Hayavama Niknes, Agav Isha Niknes. So one answer is Tosfos. Aleph Tosfos. Agav. Isha Niknes. And the language is ambiguous. Meaning, Ha'ivama Niknes means against her will, Ha'isha Niknes means with her agreement, just Ha'ishkone, what he's saying is, Ha'ishkone equals Balkarcha, Ha'isha Niknes equals ambiguous. And therefore, it couldn't have said Ha'ishkone, that would mean against her will. It says Ha'isha Niknes, which is ambiguous, and on her own we figure out it means she has to agree, and Ha'ivama Niknes means she doesn't have to agree. The Ramban gives a second very fine answer, and all the other Rishon Sfarad from the Mibay Drash, the Ramban, to this technical question. He says, it's not, we misunderstood. The point isn't that Ha'isha Niknes means she has to agree. It's not the Niknes. It's the Isha. Right? What he says, the real principle is that Ha'ish Kone means that it is he is, Ha'ishkone means that he is in charge. Ha'isha Niknes means that he isn't in charge. She is equally in charge. That's the point. Ha'isha Niknes means she has to agree. It just means it's not more up to him. He's not in charge. And they're equally in charge. They both have to agree, Taka. So likewise, Hayavama Niknes means she is equally in charge. The only difference is that here you need the das of both of them. And here you need the das of neither of them. But it's no problem. The Lashon Ha'isha Niknes doesn't mean after she has to agree. Just that, she's equally in charge to him. Right? She has an equal say as he does. So by Kiddushin Ha'isha Niknes, they both have to totally agree. And by Yivam Ha'isha Niknes, neither of them has to agree. They're both equal.
But I never, no one would ever understand. The whole thing is Kinyan. They're learning from the Kinyan. Any kind of Kinyan is always two-sided. Where would one come off thinking that a Kinyan is one-sided? You buy something, both
okay,
sides
hold, okay, I will let you hold that thought for a moment. Okay. Agav, we saw that Netziv said something creative. This is not found in the Rishon, and this is perhaps clever. No, sometimes there are clever things. He said cleverly that really the Yavama does have to agree to the Kenyan, right? That was a sheet on the inside of the board. Really, the problem is not Niknes against her will. She does have to agree to the Kenyan. It's not a question in the first place. Just the Isser is Chal without her Das. The Yavama Niknes, according to that, is no question in the first place. She's only, the Kenyan's only Chal and the Yavama if she agrees. Oh, we know Yibam works about Karcha. That's for the Isser, not for the Kenyan. That was weird that Netziv got this clever idea in order to answer Tosfos Kasha. Okay, the second technical question Tosfos asks, which is really first in that, is that if Ha'ish means against her will. Yeah, well, that answered Morty's question yet. It's going with the assumption. And Ha'isha means she has to agree. So then, second perek says Ha'ish Mekadesh. Doesn't Ha'ish Mekadesh means against her will? But how could that be? Meaning, if Ha'ish means he could do it against her will, then why does the second parak say Ha'ish Mekadesh? That's also the question. He says, okay, no problem. So Tosos gives an answer. Tosos says, no problem. Even though the second parak sounds like it's against her will, that won't mislead anyone, because from the first parak, we already know she has to agree. And therefore, once we clarified it in the beginning of the Masechet, it's okay to be unclear later on in the Masechet, because we already got our bearings, right? Sachtor, Chayayir, you have to start out being very clear, and later on you could be a little careless with your formulation because you can assume people already chat by now. So that's what Tosa says. Tosa says, it is misleading, but it's okay because we clarified it, we meaning they, in Perek Aleph. Okay, you're right, Perek Beis is misleading, yeah?
I just want to make sure about for the Nitzav, let's say he was the one that didn't have Das Chita, he tripped or whatever.
That's a great question. I don't think he says explicitly, but it seems to me that it would also be an Isser without a Kenyan. That's what it seems. The Ramban, and also, well, all his Beit Midrash, Rishon HaSfarad here, gives a different answer. The Ramban says, there's a difference between Lashon Mekadesh and Lashon Kenyan. Right? The Ramban says, only Ha'ish Kone sounds like Malkarcha. But Ha'ish Mekadesh is obviously Midaita. Meaning it's not a kasha in the first place. Only if the man is Kone, it sounds like she doesn't have to agree. But if the man is Mekadesh, then obviously she has to agree. The Ramban says, because after all, you're not Mekadesh something without permission. You're Kone something. Now, here the Ramban is a little tricky, because if you think about it, listen to what he says. I can be Kone this book without its permission, but I can't be Mekadesh this book without the owner's permission. Now, therefore, obviously, Kone sounds like you don't need the other side's permission, but Mekadesh obviously ain't under Mekadesh, Darvish ain't Shalom. Now, why is this a little tricky? Because the Ramban, he makes it sound good, but it's actually, the parallel is very tricky because I can be Kone this book without the book's permission, but I still need the owner's permission.
Good.
I can be Mekadesh, I need the owner's permission, but I don't need the book's permission, right? So it's a little funny, like he makes it sound like there's a big difference in Kenyan. Kenyan, I don't need the permission of the object, but to be Mekadesh, I need the permission of the owner. It's really, he makes it sound different, but it's really the same. So this Ramban is very tricky, and that's one of the things this Tashbetz, this long shot Tashbetz, was worried about. Basically, the main question of this Tashbetz was, can you explain to me the Ramban on this sugya? I don't think it was a halakha maisa question. I didn't put the question here. If I recall correctly, the main question was, can you explain to me the sugya, with the Ramban? So it's a little tricky, and we're not sure exactly what the Ramban means, and that's what the Tashbetz is bothered by. Like, why is Kone sound more Bal Karcha than Mekadesh? So, I'm not sure what different ways to answer this might be. Maybe somehow we just thought psychologically the Lashon Kinyan sounded more like you're imposing yourself on, and the Lashon Mekadesh didn't. I'm not sure. It's a tricky Ramban. And the Tashbetz, in order to explain this Ramban, you're definitely invited to have a different explanation to the Ramban. But I don't have a great, terrific, amazing different explanation for the Ramban, although I'm sure someone here could come up with one. The Tashbetz also didn't have a different way to explain the Ramban. He only found one way to explain the Ramban. And he explained the Ramban with something very lundish. The Tashbetz said, what did the Ramban mean? What's the difference? Right? So says the Tashbetz, what does the Ramban mean? The Ramban means that I could be Kone something. I could be Kone this book. He says even Daik Nurampan. I could be Kone this book without asking the book's permission. I can't be Mekadesh this book, or Makdesh this book, whatever. Not unless I have the owner's permission. Ein Adam Makdesh Darvish Ein Shalom. I'm not getting into the whole Machlokas Achronim about whether you can send a Shliach to be Makdesh something or not. But clearly, I can only be Makdish if I buy it first. To be Makdish, I have to buy it first. And that's the Ramban meant. It's not that I can be Kone without permission, but for Makdish, I need permission. Because then the parallel is a little tricky. Right? What does the Ramban mean? So let's just look for a second at what the Ramban mean. What does he mean? So the Pashat Pshat of the Ramban, but the Pasuk Pshat is difficult to understand, is just that I can be kone something without its permission, but I can't be makdish something without permission. But the problem is, of course, I don't need the object's permission. I need the owner's permission, right? Even if the object is a person, let's say I want to be makdish Eved for medic advice or something. Still, I don't need the Eved's permission. I need the other's permission. So he says, I can be kona something without permission, but I can't be makdish something without permission. The problem is not such a good parallel. I can be kona without the object's permission, but with the owner's permission. I can't be makdish without the owner's permission, but I can without the object's permission. So therefore, says the Tashbates, it must be a different shot in the Ramban. If you read the Ramban, he talks about you can't be makdish davar she'eino shelo, meaning I can be kone something without its permission. But I can't be makdish something without acquiring it first. Meaning, to be makdish, I need to do something first. And therefore, what does the Ramban mean? If it said, ha'ish kone, I'm kone her, it didn't say I'm kone from her. It says I'm kone her. Sounds like I don't need her permission. She's the nikne. She's not the makdish, she's the nikne. I don't need permission of the thing I'm kone. I'm kone her means I don't need her permission. But if it says I'm makdish her, then it must mean I'm makdish her without her permission. But first I had to be kone her. Then mistam, I needed permission. Right? If it's an assumption that I was kone something already, you usually kone with permission. It says it without requiring it first. And min hastam, using the regular, or don't really have room here, without acquiring her first. How to acquire her first? Min hastam, use common sense. Common sense. How would I acquire her? Obviously, I would ask her if she wants to give herself over to me. And that's how the Tashbich reads the chiluk. The chiluk is, ha'ish kona would sound like I'm kona her right now. It doesn't say she has to be makdish herself to me. Sounds like it's a chiddush I can be kona her without permission. But ha'ish mekadish means I'm mekadish her without her permission. And I was kona her yesterday. Not yesterday. I was kona her a millisecond ago. Ah, I was kona her a millisecond ago. It doesn't say a lashon of ha'ish kona. That's an assumed. And therefore, the kinyan needs permission. The difference is, ha'ish kona means I'm kona her. It doesn't say she has to agree. But ha'ish mekadish, I'm makdish her, she doesn't have to agree. But I was already kona her. But it doesn't say how I was kona her. So in this time, use common sense. And she has to agree. And therefore, says the Tashbates, let's just go back to here. Says the Tashbates. Tashbates says, every chasan has to do two steps. The Tashbates is not talking about doing one without the other. Like, in this case, you only have one din without the other din. He means, no, and every regular chasan has two dinim. But he doesn't do the two dinim at once, conceptually. He does it at once, chronologically. He has to do two steps. First, the kinyan, and the kinyan requires her das. Once he's kona, the kiddushin, the answer doesn't require her das. Second, right, hekdish, and he adds, this is midaita, and this is even shalom midaita. Right? Meaning, if she would say, I agree to become your wife. I agree, I'm totally your wife, I'm loyal to you, etc. But I don't agree that all these like religious prohibitions should apply to me. I just want to be your common law wife, I don't agree to all these religious prohibitions. And he were to say, well, I want to take you as my wife and put the Isurim on you. then it would work. She doesn't have to be an Isser. Once he took her as her wife, it's his business. He's the Baldover to make the Isser. And that's the Chiddush of the Tashmish. It all comes out of this technical question of the Gemara. But out of this technical question of the Gemara and the technical problem with the Ramban comes the Tashmish that makes a Chiddush that every Chassid is doing two things. Now he says it's like Gittov Yodavon Ka'achas. Sometimes you can do two things simultaneously. He doesn't have to like first do one and then breathe. And, or you know, in the Miyush of not breathe. And then do the other. But simultaneously, but he's doing two different haluyos, and ha'ish mekadesh, ha'isha nikneis, the kinyan, she has to agree to, ha'ish mekadesh, the kiddushin, the hekdesh, she doesn't have to agree to, because once she agreed to the kinyan, he's now the baldover to be makdesh.
What is this kinyan? For the tashris, if I cut it off in the first step.
That's a great question. What is this kinyan? He doesn't say, and we're probably left with all the things he had on the board last time. Might be a kinyan that she has to live with me. She has to be part of my family and live in my house. Might be just a kinyan she shouldn't go around with other men. Maybe it's more than that. But whatever it is, the difference is the kinyan, I can be Michael if I want. But once the Isser is Chal, then it's Leolam Vaid.
There's another difference in kinyan and being the Kaddish something. In kinyan, the person who's selling the item has to have a positive das to be mavir. We see that there's someone else is being mavir to you. But if you're makdish something or somebody else's, he just has to not be against it, and then it's okay.
Okay, you're making assumptions. You're making assumptions, and I'm not sure your assumptions are correct. But I don't want to get into this. That's not even clear to me that I can be makdish your object even with your permission. Because there's a concept called mili lemenshin l'shliach, maybe any halos done with words without an action I can never do for you. So you're based on assumptions which are questionable, but not for now.
Isn't the Tashri's assumption also that, like, that hekdish, the being makdish something, so there's actually the same thing as being makdish and isha, like, that those two are fundamentally different things. Being makdish, you're making yourself to olam, is specific to a person, versus being makdish something to...
Okay, that's a great question, which is something that we will have to come back to. Meaning, Rafi is bringing up, he really takes this hekdish kiddushin seriously. Rafi's bringing up a great question, which is, I kept saying kinyan versus isser. And hekdish, isser, I sort of, you know, combine them. Rashi's pointing out that isser, he understands full well. We all know that there's a pretty serious isser going on here. Hekdish, it's not really hekdish. Hekdish is for the Beis HaMikdash. Here, she's staying with me. So it's a... The parallel is not so mukrach, and yet he takes it very seriously. So I will say back to Rafi, I will say, we're basically finished the hakdoma, as it were. You know, to like one of the basic yisodos of how we understand Kiddushin. But we're not really, because throughout the next 12 blot, we'll have to keep coming back to these questions and expanding them. And one of the questions that we'll get to a little later is, when we say Asla Kuluyamaka Hektish for the Isser side, does that mean merely to Isser like Hektish is an Isser? In which case Rafi says maybe he's taking this a little too far. Or do we mean really, really it's Hektish? Hektish being funny, Hektish usually means consecrated for the Mikdash, and not that it's just an Isser. But, and we'll come back to this, this creates a very fascinating question, which is, this Isser of Kiddushin, is this Isser of Kiddushin, which I'm not going to answer now. I'm not even going to ask now. I'm just going to tell you that I will ask it later. Which is the Isser of Kiddushin just Stam an Isser? Like, for example, you know, whatever. It's not only Isher, there's a lot of varieties. I'm not allowed to marry my daughter and my sister and my mother and lots of other people. And it's all Isser. So it's all Isser. Heck, there's just Cobra for Isser. There's a lot of Isser in the Torah. You know, I'm also not allowed to eat a ham sandwich or a cheeseburger. There's a lot of Isurim in the Torah. They're Isurim. They're not really like Hektish. We just use that phrase, Lav Davka, in which case you have to really justify taking it too seriously. Or maybe there really is something like Hektish here. Well, again, what's the Isur and Hektish? Isur is just something is bad. Hektish is something is very, very wrong and sacrilegious because it's supposed to be used only for special holy purposes. Right? So that's really the question. When we say Hektish here, do we mean it's just an Isser like Hektish and Isser, but the parallel is only skin deep? Or do we mean no? After all, there's such thing as Hektish for mitzvah also. Not all Hektish has to be the Beis HaMikdash, right? Atzei Sukkah are also Kadosh, like the Karbonos of the Chag.
The Onish are fundamentally different. I mean, the Onish, if a person is person has uses hektish properly versus the onish versus...
Okay, but if you assume, and here, you know, it's always hard to tell when you're getting drushy, but if you assume that no, meaning the relationship with your husband and wife is not just, you know, something that creates prohibitions, but the relationship between the husband and wife is some sort of, you know, all the 23 books of Tanakh are Kodesh, but Shir Shir is Kodesh Kodashim, right? Kodesh Kodashim, by the way, is a phrase that comes from the Beis HaMikdash, last I checked. Right? So if you assume Shir Shir is Kodesh Kodashim, then what we're saying is that maybe the relationship between a husband and wife, you know, in the context of Kiddushin, again, I'm not saying the Beis HaMikdash, obviously, but it's some parallel to the Beis HaMikdash is really some sort of unique avoda, and therefore the prohibition on other people is not just God wanted to prohibit a pre-tistic society where everyone would be sleeping around with everyone else's wife and it would just turn into behemoths, and therefore he made a prohibition, same as he prohibited sleeping with your relatives, and same as he prohibited doing lots of other stupid things. No, maybe this really is a hektish. Hashem wanted to create a unique lifnai v'lifnim, as it were. Right? After all, what in Sefer Melachim, I believe, what is a strange nickname for the Kodesh Kodashim?
Tavir.
Also, it's also called once the Cheder HaMitot, the bedroom. Right? The, or at least I'll be Chazal. The bedroom, right? I mean, somehow there is a Kodesh Kodashim here, and somehow the hektish really is that it's sacrilegious to take something which is set aside and dedicated for this holy purpose and use it for your own enjoyment. And therefore, maybe it's not so crazy to call it hektish. Okay, which of these two sides of the coin are correct? I didn't plan to get into this, but I'll just also point out that Tosos asks, you know, Asula kuliyamik hektish, and Rascal the Asar, Hareya mikudeshes li. Why say mikudeshes li? If mikudeshes means usher, then what does mikudeshes li mean? Usher to me. Hold on, it's not usher to me. I want to be usher to the other guy, not to me. So Tosus is like, what is mikudeshes li? If mikudeshes means usher, how could she be usher to me? And Tosus says, well,
well, maybe it means you're mikudeshes, right? You're usher in order to be mine. Right? You're usher in order to be mine. Where he says maybe the pshat of mikudeshes, really, maybe just working off the pshat of mikudeshes is you're just set aside for me. Right? Mikudeshes just means miyuan. What's a good word for miyuan in English?
Designated.
Okay. I wanted something a little more sublime sounding. But not that sublime. You're designated for me. It's just interesting. Already in Tosfos, you know, you have this, already in Tosfos, you know, you have this tension, like, what's the relationship between the Isser and the relationship with me? Right? Is that you're ushered to other people for my sake? Or that really, no, you're designated to me, I'll be pshat, and therefore I'll be Derek Remez, you're therefore ushered to other people. Already these two, it's not even clear if they're two answers or just two ha'aros in Tosfos, right? They're two different answers or two ha'aros. But he's saying, what is Mekudeshes Li? Either Mekudeshes means forbidden, you're forbidden to other people because of me, or for the sake of me, or it means mikudeshes doesn't mean forbidden. That's the drash. That's the remez. Mikudeshes really means designated. It means you're designated for me. Already this question, right, is that you're designated for me, and I'll be remez. That's what makes you forbidden to other people, or that you're forbidden to other people, and I like that, and that's helpful for me. So already this tension is asking, is it being just forbidden, or does it mean no, there's something special going on here, and the fact you're also everyone else is because of the interference of that special thing. We'll come back to that later in this parak, because that comes up with much more concrete halachic nafkaminas. So we'll leave that as an open question for now. Aaron?
I think maybe this is what you really meant. My answer to in other words, what we're saying is that the Lashon of the Torah of Kinyan, we have a Kira, is it Kinyan Kaspo, or is it something else? So the Lashon of the Kodeshes also, is it like... Is it really kiddushin? Is it really hekdesh, or is it like hekdesh? We say it's like kinyan.
Exactly, precisely. Just iser, you know, like hekdesh, is usser, or does it mean no? Or it's really hekdesh, meaning that it's usser. because of the kedusha of the
relationship
of the designated of the designation, which in this case is the relationship. Exactly.
There's something else also.
And I want to get that later.
Kedushin is Lashon Chazal. We don't find Kedushin in the Torah, do we?
Right, but that's...
So in other words, so who is it, who is even bringing up this issue? It's Chazal.
Okay, correct. Meaning Kedushin is Chazal, Lashon Chazal, but when you have Lashon Chazal, then you have to ask yourself the following question. Lashon Chazal means sometimes they found a nice Lashon and they hung something on it, and you know, if it was a real important Lashon, it would be in the Tanakh. And they found a nice Lashon, and this is us or that's us, or so let's call it Kedushin. It's cute. Or no, Lashon Chazal means, there's a difference between Chazal and us. Right? Lashon Chazal means that Chazal had the insight to get to the core of the pnimiyot of the halacha, and therefore sometimes they express something in a more accurate way than even the Torah does, because the Torah is maybe talking about, after all, the Torah also talks in code words, right? Meaning there's midosh Torah and dreshes, but the Torah is not always trying to communicate in the clearest way. Why? This is a philosophical question, not for now, but clearly we don't always do it the simple thing that sounds in the Torah. Chazal here are saying that, well, we have the unique access to what's really going on in the Torah on the deepest level, and therefore, so that's the question.
I don't understand why Kedushin is Lashon Chazal. Kedushin to you.
Correct, but it's not talking about marriage there. Kedushin to you is not talking about marriage.
Doesn't it mean they're muvdalim, pushim?
Correct, but just to use about marriage, that's again, I'm not saying Chazal made a Kiddush from left field, right? Chazal didn't change the Torah. They just explained and elucidated the Torah. So, but the idea that marriage is called Kedushin is not found in Tanakh.
You say before that, according to the Tashbis, if the Kinyan is not Chalal, or if the woman makes a condition in the Kinyan, which would not be singular, then only for this husband, therefore the second Shlav can't exist. The first Shlav entirely, absolutely, with no limitations.
Correct, meaning in Beit Anan L'Chaveiro, she'd have to agree to be loyal to him without limitations. But whether Ben Onla Chaveiro, the Esser covers him, he says, Bezdin kicks in, that's not her business, that's only his business, according to the Tashbates. Okay, I just want to end, I'm going to come back to this. I just want to end with, I just want to end with a big chiddush of Rav Gustavin in the Kunsh Seh Shiurim here, his first Shiur Kvali, as it were, what they call the Iyun Shiur Kiddushin. He said that a strange Yerushalmi. Now, this is a question which I'm not saying in my life I've come to a conclusion about. But there's a big question of how much do you make of Havaminas? Right? On the one hand, you can't make too much of Havaminas because they're only Havaminas. On the other hand, you know, it's not your hairdresser's Havamina. It's Chazal's Havamina. So if they had a Havamina, then that clearly implies that there must be some logic to it because they didn't stop to think about silly things. So it's always a question how big of a deal to make of Havaminas. If someone wants to say, I don't make a big deal of Havaminas, Havamina is just what mistaken foolish people might have thought, and they're telling you not to be a mistaken foolish idiot. That could be, and if someone wants to say no, every Havamina means that it was a real option, and we have to mechadesh that it's not true. Okay, I'm going to leave that to you to decide your, you know, what principles you will lead your life. But in this case, the Rishami has a crazy Havamina.
I think that over here you have to be particularly cautious because, as you prefaced it the other day, because as the Ritva already says, that this is
not... Okay, but here I'm in the Rishami. So that's...
Beseder, but...
Yeah, okay, not alone.
In this
situation. Correct, but in the Rishami it says, Kini misnisen o bekesef o bishtar o bebiya. Mishnah ha'isha nefez bekesef shtar bebiya. It means either kesef or shtar or bebiya. You don't need all three. Okay, if that, I might not make a big deal of it. But then the Rishami goes on. V'tani Rabchia came. Like, if they just said, don't, you know, maybe if you're in second grade and starting to learn Gemara, don't think you need Kesef Shtar and Bia. It means Kesef Shtar or Bia. Because we know Vav in Tanakh through Chazal can mean and or can mean or. Okay, if it was just that. But then the Yerushalmi seems to say, like, no, we really have to prove this. V'tani Rabchia came, and Rabchia teaches a brisa to back us up. Losov to Rishloshtam. You don't need all three. Elafilu Bechmeh, even one of them is good enough.
So already here it sounds like this is not a silly, it's hard to say this is a silly havamina. I mean, a silly havamina, they would have just spent one line. Here you need a tani rebchia, they need to bring a brisa to prove lo sof darash loshtan. Don't think that it only works if you have all three. Really, even achas mehem. It sounds like this is a serious havamina, you need all three. Okay, what's the nature of this havamina, you need all three? So, Rav Gustavin says in the Kodesh Shirim, a big chiddush. He says, why would you think you need all three? He says it must be, and why is this a big chiddush? That there's not tzvei dinim in Kiddushin. Must be there's three dinim in Kiddushin. There are three parts to Kiddushin. What are the three parts to Kiddushin? Where does he get three parts? I mean, two. I know where you get two parts. Usually, I don't like saying fancy lumdus if it doesn't have a marker in the Gemara. You want to say tzvei dinim in Kiddushin? Say, you can say tzvei dinim in your grandmother if you want. Give me a marker. The mucker is right here in our Gemara. The Gemara says there's Kiddushin and there's Kenyan. That's fine. We have a great mucker. What's the mucker for three dinim? So here he has to stretch a little. He says, well, there's Kenyan. That's one din. Kenyan, we know what a Kenyan is. Dinim Amonos. There is Isser. Isser is another din. Asur l'kuliyam kehekdish. And there's what Tosso says. There's the drash meaning of Kiddushin and the pshat meaning of Kiddushin. The drash meaning of Kiddushin is Isser. The pshat meaning of Kiddushin is a relationship. Right? Is that you and I, we're together now. Right? Is that we have a relationship with one another. And therefore, says Rav Gustavin, there's really three parts to Kiddushin. There are three haluyos in Kiddushin. Number one, it creates a kenyan. Number two, it creates an iser. And number three, it creates a relationship. And each of those has their nafkamina. Maybe, you know, the husband's kenyan, he doesn't explain. The iser makes someone else who does something with her chaya misa or a karban to show gay. The kinyan, perhaps, makes her obligated, certain obligations to her husband, and maybe the relationship, okay, that makes them considered close in terms of Tumas Kohanim, in terms of Soledus of Al Ka'ishta, you know, maybe in terms of, say, you know, Chil Ona, who knows? I mean, but there's a lot of relationships that come from the fact that now they're close, right? There's a lot of halachic nafkaminas. So, says Rav Gustavin, there's really three different conditions. That's a big chiddush. And therefore, what's the havamina? The havamina is that you need to do all three things to create these three aspects. You need kesef to make a kinyan. Nasati kesef sadekach miyani asad asher kon avram. You need to write a shtar to create the iser. How do we know shtars do with an iser? Because the shtar is learned from get. And what's the lashon of get? Anyone ever read a get? It says it's only five. No, there's many important words. The five most important words are. Muteris l'chaladam. Again, it's about muter and usher. And you need bia, because that's what creates the relationship, right? That actually physically, the fallout creates the relationship. So he says a big chiddush, much bigger chiddush than the Netziv, and many, meaning I can list you 100 achron if I want to say tzvei dinim. That's no big deal. But he says there are three dinim, one based on kinyan, one based on usher kehektish, and one based on the pshat of mikudeshes li, as Tosfos points out. And the Havi Yerushalmi is, you need to do three things to create a threefold chalos. The Kamash one is that, no, if you do one of them, that brings along the other two, and that's good enough. And that's the that's Rav Gustavin's last chiddush, which is, says the Kuntra Seishir of Rav Gustavin. Anyone know Rav Gustavin from America or from Katzimon here?
Zeb, the guy.
Right. What? Rechavia, I meant Rechavia. Yeah, I've been there, actually. He says there's actually three dinim. There is kinyan, which comes from lashon of niknes. There is iser, which comes from asar la kehekdesh. And there is just the ishos, the relationship. Not kinyan, relationship, which comes from the pshat of mikudeshes li, and he says this corresponds to kesef, this corresponds to shtar, this corresponds to bia. Now the Yerushalmi's havamina is not crazy at all. It's a good havamina. It's a reasonable havamina. And kamash mulan, we don't go that far. Lamaisa, they're a package deal, and you enter the back door, you get into the house, you enter the front door, you get into the house, you enter the window, you get into the house. Doesn't matter which angle you come from, you end up with the same bias.
But then you have a problem about a get, because we say get is, we learn shtar from a get, and then the get should have to have all three parts of it also.
No, I mean in the havamina.
In the havamina.
Okay, so at some point, you still have to admit that I think even if you say Havamina has to have a Svara, I don't think it has to tie up the loose ends. It's still a Havamina.
It works anyway. Because she's going to move out of the house, and you can be mock or something, you don't need to...
Right, right. The truth is that, I don't want to get into this, but Ben is hinting at, it's not just to get this Vesholcha Mibeso, and there are actually Halacha Nafgaminas of Vesholcha Mibeso, I can't be Vesholcha Vechuzeres, etc. So it could be maybe you could somehow stick it in the Havamina, but there's a limit to how far I'm going to go in the Havamina. You know, after all, Chazal do have a Havamina Medrash, you know, what that says, Vidibarta, Bam Yachol, Vidibarta, Batalim. So not every Havamina should we necessarily, you know, take to the nth degree. Okay, so this is the end of Hakdama, Lemaseches Kiddushin. Yes, please. I just want to point out that Chaim asked me, like, what does this mean, you know, for us, you know, as, you know, people who are involved with Sadra Kiddushin and Chassanim and
rabbis,
fathers, etc. Rabbis, etc. What is the nature of this? What is the nature of Kiddushin? What are we actually talking about? So I think that goes very much to the Chakir we asked. On the one hand, maybe Kiddushin is all about Isurim. And that we could take even the Isurim. You could take in a sort of less deep fashion or a more deep fashion. Maybe really it's not about Kinyan. Kinyan is just a borrowed way to show people are serious about something which we borrow from State Ephraim. Like Tosa says, Kinyan doesn't really apply to the Kiddushin. It just applies to some ways of doing it that we happen to pick now for convenience. You know, but really it's not a Kinyan. So one way of understanding is, really we're not talking about a Kinyan. Kinyan is you buy milk. Kinyan is you buy a cow. This is not a Kinyan. We use some procedures borrowed from Kinyan because those are good procedures for making sure that people know what they're talking about. But really, it's an Isser. Really, this is about holiness. Really, this is about Isser. This is about Kedushin Yisrael. Mekadesh Ami Yisrael, the Chup of the Kedushin. And not only Isser, but Hekdesh. Perhaps creating something so holy that using it for any other purpose is sacrilegious. On the other hand, there's also an understanding that Kedushin is about Kinyan. Right? So, okay, maybe we'll go with the Isser. I once had a rabbi who taught this. The conclusion was that we go with the Isser understanding. You don't buy a wife. On the other hand, there is a Kenyan understanding, not that you buy away from Kenyan Hagluf. I wouldn't even necessarily be committed to the Rashva that you're buying a Shifcha L'Sham show. You know, perhaps that's not the mainstream approach. But you are buying something, meaning you're buying some commitment. You are buying the commitment, right? The Chassid is buying the acquiring the Kalos commitment to the relationship. And then we might ask, A, first of all, we want to clarify that unlike one line in the Tosas Rush and the minority Shita of the Rashba, we're not buying a person, we're not buying a Shifcha, we're not buying a cow or a quart of milk or even an apartment. No, we are acquiring a commitment. You know, whatever that commitment to the marriage relationship. We are acquiring the commitment to this relationship. Why acquire the commitment to this relationship? Again, why not just enter into a relationship? And I think then we might say, we might really want to be inspired by the words, by the pirush of Rav Shimshon Frel Hirsch, by going back to Nasati Kesva Sada Kachmi Meni. Again, why did Avram want to buy? They were happy to share the cemetery and have a relationship, and we'll all be in this together and wonderful, this relationship. The answer is because buying something means investing in it. Buying something means treating it as something precious. Everyone knows that, right? Everyone knows that if I want my kid, right, if I want my kid to hear his bicycle, the worst thing to do is say, oh, well, you can use this bicycle, right? Even to give him the bicycle is a terrible idea. If I tell him to buy the bicycle, you know, if I give him the money and he uses it to buy the bicycle, then all of a sudden, this is something he invested in. This is something which now he has to value. Again, buying something doesn't mean only, you know, I buy, I'm in charge. Maybe that's not the Kenyan that I was thinking about. Buying something also means, is a way of saying that, you know, Hashem has certain Kenyanim, right? Mikdash Hashem konu yodecha, which we darshan b'loshim. Kinyan, kone shamayim va'aretz, and Avram is kinyan echad, and Yisrael is kinyan echad, and Torah is kinyan echad, meaning these things are kinyanim of Hashem. What does it mean, kinyanim of Hashem? Torah Tinian Echad Avram Tinian Echad doesn't mean, oh, God's in charge of the Torah. He's the master of the Torah. You don't mess with him. He's the master of everything. He's the master of the zebras too. But the zebras aren't his Kinyan. Right? No, it says Avram Kinyan Echad, Bishamikdash Kinyan Echad, Yisrael Kinyan Echad, and Shemayim Ba'aretz Kinyan Echad, and Torah Kinyan Echad. It's not telling you when he's more in charge and you don't mess with him because he's the Baal Bais. No, he's in charge of everything. It's telling you what's precious to him, what he invests in. Right, what he considers to be his prized possession. What, and therefore, I think that the Inyan of Isser is clearly not talking about being a caveman and buying a wife. But I think the Lashon of Kenyan is not talking about that either. If we go back to where we get the Lashon of Kenyan from, and the idea of Kenyan, Kenyan clearly does have some idea that there's a head of a household. I'm not. No one ever accused me of being an egalitarian here. But if you're asking why Kiddushin is a Kinyan, is Kiddushin a Kinyan to show that the husband is in charge and the wife belongs to him? Or did the Torah have this idea of Kinyan to show that there's a relationship here? And in the end, he's going to owe her the same thing she owes him by the Oraisa law of Shir, Ksusa, Manasol, Yigra, etc., etc. But ultimately, she definitely, the Oraisa has a certain commitment that he doesn't in terms of pre-Kirim during the Gershom, but even more so, I think, that a Kinyan is, again, when the Mishnah lists Hashem's Kinyanim, means something that you invest in and that is precious, and therefore the Torah understood that for a man to take a wife doesn't just mean for a man to say, you know, I'm in, you know, count me in, all right, you know, I'm part of this, means that the man has to understand that he has to invest and consider this, new acquisition to be something precious, and this has to be his kinyan in life. So I think that, you know, where you would go with this, either way, and maybe there's multiple elements, maybe there's even three elements, either way, I think it's teaching us something unique Torah Hashkafa on Kiddushin.
Yeah. But what's still not clear to me, first of all, you have Tosfot Rosh, you have the Rashba, you have other Rishon. Now, Dole Rishon, you're not talking about a Farvor and a Shita, Ergetz, Medaf, Zichin, it's off in North East, okay? Did they, no, what I want to understand, I asked you before, let me say the question again. What are they doing? Are they deriving their interpretation from Gemaras and say, that's what the Gemaras say, and we're not responsible to anything Erki beyond what the Gemara says? That's it. And that's all that they do. Or is the question that you did now, the, if you want to call it apologetic, rabbinics, whatever you're doing, modern rabbi, Yeshiva University, is that something that you're putting onto the Rishonim? Or these are two separate realms?
First of all, you're stabbing me in the heart here. Why are you stabbing me in the heart here? You're stabbing me in the heart here because, you know, you're making the, you know, sort of the modern rabbi Yeshiva University, contrasting it with just trying to find the Pashut Shad in the MS, when, no, I mean, you should, if you think so, then you should leave Yeshiva University and go someplace else. You're only allowed in, the test for Smicha is, you have to be able to read a Gemara a little, and you have to believe that this is what you find when you look for the Pashut Shad in the MS, otherwise go someplace else. And you need a bachelor's. That Rav Lichtenstein, actually, I heard him say more than once. Yeah, if he was in charge, he wouldn't require the bachelor's degree. He knows lots of people who are holding in literature and philosophy and science without having ever gone to any college. And there's no reason that you can't read on your own and know all of Western culture. Back to, the answer is that what were the Tosfos Rosh and the Rashba thinking? What I might say is the Tosfos Rosh and Rashba were agreeing with everything I said.
Okay.
They didn't write that instead of everything I said. That I don't believe. They agreed with everything they said. And then they also thought that there was really much more of a, not just a hierarchical relationship within the family relationship, but much more of a economic hierarchical relationship, and that really part of the Kenyan was the work, etc. That was a bigger part of the essential Kiddushin for them. And they also thought that, and that resonated with them, and if it resonates with you, then you should run with it. But I don't think they meant that instead of any of the Ruchniistic ideas that are pointed out here. What is Mekadesh Amo Yisrael Yidei Chuppah V'Kiddushin? Right? Obviously, Mekadesh Amo Yisrael Yidei Kiddushin doesn't mean, They just also thought that you should take the Kenyan aspect a little further, and, you know, if they were the majority viewpoint, then I think that, you know, and accepted by the acronym, then I think we would have to take deal with that a little more in terms of our practical lives, given that the acronym really tend to, most of the acronym didn't even like maybe have this and didn't even know this line existed, and they you know, you look at the city, he says, well, that's pasha, that's impossible to say something like that. He wasn't being modern. He just maybe he didn't have a copy of this one line, and they, you know, I don't know what swarm he had, what swarm he didn't have. Given that's not the mainstream, so I think we can leave it as a interesting possibility. Now let's move on. The Gemara says, I'm going to ask Ellie to make me a new clock back there that, like, stops when people ask questions. And then I'll only give shear till 10 o'clock. trust me, I'll end up gaming. I know I'll end up gaming. So, the Gemara there has a Havamina. Havamina that. You can do it. Ha'isha nikhne. You got it? Ha'ish konez bal karcha. Kamashon ha'isha nikhne is to teach us nidaita. So, now what is this, again, the question is how seriously you take the Havamina, right? You know, maybe the Havamina would have thought something. That's impossible. It's not really logical. But again, the Gemara does say, if the Mishnah said Ishkona, then a person learning the Mishnah would have thought this, meaning someone could theoretically have thought this. So the question is, like, why would you really think this? The Meiri brings up two reasons why it's not such a great Havamina. Number one, because there's a normal rule of Das Machten. Number one, technically, there's a rule of Das Machten. If I want to get something from you, you have to agree. That's just a legal principle in Shas. And number two, he says, Lo Yinaf Tabas Levram Avinu. Right? Like, it's just like, what did Lo Yinaf Tabas Levram Avinu? Like, well, what are the women going to do? Like, not because of legal, juridical, Choshen Mishpat or Ezra principles. Just like, that's crazy. Like, everyone go to every girl and say, you're my wife, and she wouldn't really say in the matter. It's just not, like, we can't imagine what would happen in society then, right? It's just, like, it's not practical. So number one, practically, like, it's hard to imagine running life that way. And number two, even logically, juridically, it's hard to imagine that I can be Kona. Remember, it's the Lashon Kinyan here. How can I be Kona without Das Machten? So it's a funny Havamina. How do we justify this Havamina? So I see there are three ways. I always thought there were two ways. But now, you know, as the years go by, we have many more obscure Rishonim available to us. And now I see there are three ways of understanding this Havamina. There are three ways of understanding this Havamina. Here is the Havamina of Bal Karcha. One way is just the Pshat that Bal Karcha Mamish. Why would you have such a Havamina? Either, okay, maybe a Havamina doesn't have to be a good Havamina, or some of the Mepharshim say, Kizetz ki yikach ish isha, and therefore the Torah said he has to be the one to be lokeach. We might have thought that even though it's illogical for him to marry her against her will, we might have thought it's a gzeres hakasov ki yikach, and we'll see three times in the next four blot. That the Torah darshes ki yikach, the husband does it, not the wife, right? Why can't the wife give a husband a ring? Because it says ki yikach. why can't the wife says, you know, hare atah mekudah shli, because it says ki yikach. So therefore, and what's the svara? The svara is either just a very weak svara, or we can even say no svara, or you could say the svara is it's a gzeres hakasov of ki yikach, that even though it goes against our normal logic, there's some things in the Torah the gzeres hakasov goes against logic, and we listen to it anyway. Ki yikach.
It's against logic, or it's not
It's against the usual rule of Das Machten, and also, it's impractical. Okay. However, there are two other possibilities. The Rashba says, no, the Havamina wasn't that you don't need the Das of the woman. That's meaning, Bal Karcha Mamish, that you don't need her Das. I'm not going to put it on the board, but remember that Tziv also had a solution here. He says, maybe the Havamina is only if you already did the Isser and just need to fill in the Kenyan. And then it's not so crazy once you tell everyone else that you could be kona against her will. But the havamina is that mamish, you don't need her das. That's it's strange havamina.
That's really
maybe if there's a custom.
That's really the tashbutz that you just said too.
Yes, for but only for. Right. That's
really your gita v'yada b'ayin kechad idea.
Okay, but here he says you need the kinyan midas l'maskan. Now the Rashba says no, it's not based on it's at, what's how many you can marry her without her das. That's ridiculous. The havamina rather is that it should be like all other transactions. What if I want to buy your house? So if I want to buy your house, I need you to agree. Right. Okay, what are the normal ways to get someone to agree? You offer them you offer them a nice price. You know, maybe you ask them nicely. You suggest to them a better house to buy elsewhere. Who knows what it might be?
Right.
Maybe they're looking. And you saw they already put it down. They want to sell their house. What is a? I mean, it's also the Raisa to use this method, right? That's exactly what Sachbot means. But what is a less? What is a not lefakhila way to get someone to agree?
The Godfather.
Exactly. You say, look, right?
I'll make you a price you can.
I'll make you an offer you can't refuse. Would you rather sell me your house, or would you rather try out our new line of concrete footwear in the Hudson River? Right. So, yeah, it's up to you. Right. So you hold the gun to his head and said, would you? It's up to you. I'm not forcing you to do anything. You decide, is it more kedai to sell me the house, or is it more kedai for me to kill you? So literally, hang you up, right? So now, we might think that wouldn't work, but the Gemara Taka says in Baba Basra, Daf Mem Ches, that it does work, that agav unsi unsa vizuzi in the end, the gomer umakni, right? Because of, does have a good point. I really, it is my das, I would rather sell you the house than get killed. And you are paying me, so it's not so crazy to take the money. Therefore, gamaru makni, I actually agree. So there is such thing as das, even though the das was forced. This is a chiddush. I might not have thought that way, but the Gemara says that. And then Gemara points out that, you know, it is very hard to draw the line. Many people who sell many things are being forced by various circumstances. You know, where exactly do you draw the line, right? Let's say, you know, I don't know. Someone, his kid was sick and he needed to buy medicine that cost $1 million, so he has to sell his house. Would anyone say it's not valid for me to buy his house because he's being forced to by a threat to life? No, you know, the answer is that people who sell things, everyone has their pressures on them. So one pressure is a little more in the background, one pressure is a little more in your face, but ultimately, even das under pressure is called das because human beings, lots of decisions we make are under pressure. The Gemara explains. So, the Rashba says that, no, of course you need her das. Of course you need her das. What's the havmina? The havmina is that fluya v'kidesh is das. If you hang her up till she agrees to kiddushin, what almost all Rishonim understand to be the case of the Gemara in Bava Asadaf and Ches, then that is valid kedusha. That is das. You have her das, so it should work. And as a matter of fact, the machlokas amorayim in Baba Basra there, one amora holds it does work. Rav Ashi and Amemer, I don't remember which is which. One amora holds that it does work.
Amemer
holds it does work. And what does Rav Ashi say? He says it doesn't work, but only midrabanan. Right? He says midrabanan. It doesn't mean everyone who drives it works. You have das. Kamashlon midrar bonan doesn't work. Okay, how could midrar bonan not work? Okay, we're not getting to the sugya of kin yet. We'll have time for that. But we'll do that, yeah, probably soon. So, kamashmalon is that chachamim hifkiyu hakidushin. Okay, so then it's a reasonable havmin. The havmin is taka the din doresa, right? It's a very good havmin. The havmin is you treat kidushin like everything else in the world. Which is that das under pressure counts as das, even das under, you know, irresistible pressure counts as das. And kamashmalan, that no, that kiddushin is not like everything else. Everything else in the world is just money. Kiddushin, now she's stuck married to this guy, therefore the chacham felt bad for her and made a special takana to free her.
I would think it's worse than plain havamina. it's compared in Gitin, we say that you can force him, and the reason you force him to say yes is because he really, back in the mind, he really wants to complete. By Kedushin here also, you say you force her. Well, what does she have? The two lips.
Tov Tamei Sev Tandu, in the back of her mind, she doesn't mind. So
no, she wants to be better.
Tov Tamei Sev Tandu in the Mesa Armelu. Yeah, the truth is that some of the Rishonim say that in Baba Basra. They say, and one of the reasons we consider that is because it's really good to get married anyway. Correct. That's all built into this Rashba. Because I don't remember if it was the Rashba shot, but it's a shot of one of the Rishonim Baba Basra. So that's the Rashba. The Rabbi Yonasan Milunil. Rabbi Yonasan, I didn't used to have Rabbi Yonasan Milunil on Kiddushin. Rabbi Yonasan Milunil is mostly famous from, he wrote a Pirush on the Rif. A lot of the Rishonim write Pirushim on the Rif instead of the Gemara. We know the Ram and the Yosef. There are also his Pirush is technically on the Rif. In the back of the standard Vilna Shas, he's on the side of the Rif and Irufin. People don't learn Irufin as much as they should, but Seder. So that's Rabbi Yonasan Milunil, but he wrote on the Rif on all of Shas. And then many years ago, someone published a very nice edition of footnotes of Baba Kama, which was also famous because he was quoting the Shikim Lubetzes all the time.
That was so Shama's
waiting for that. That was Shama's
doctorate.
Yeah, exactly. And then someone published on many Masechta of Shas, they found Xavian, and by now they found maybe on all of Shas, it's all in the Bar Ilan. And Yosef Menel has a new shot here. He says, what's the Havamina? Not that you can marry her against her will, that's ridiculous. He says, what's the Havamina? He says, a mishani tanish kona mina feel about korcho likdei im nisratz dacharka kama kedushin. We might have thought it's okay against her will if then she agrees to accept it. Meaning the having is just that, as long as she agrees in the end, she doesn't have to agree beforehand. Now, what do you mean she doesn't have to agree beforehand? Obviously, she doesn't have to agree beforehand. I mean, everyone knows. If I will you marry me, I'll never marry you for the rest of my life. You're the last man on earth I wouldn't marry you. And then she changes her mind. So she changed her mind. Like, why is that halakhically significant? So he says, no. You have to read a little further. Tanei shenikneis bidayt in balkar chalo, divina sheyichtov shtar, or sheyikasev shtar, dahina reyem kadesh lo midayta. This is only about Kenyan shtar, this havamina. The hav, why? Because in Kenyan kesef, who cares what you thought yesterday? Now I say, harayem kadesh, I'll give you the ring. If you agree, you agree. If not, not. If you agree, it's kedushin. If not, it's not. But there's no havaminas. In bia, who cares what you thought yesterday? If I say Arayim Kadesh Libya, if you agree, you agree, and if not, not, there's no room for Havamina. But Shtar is funny, because first I write the Shtar, usually I hire a sofer to write the Shtar, and then I give it to you. There's two stages. So you might have thought I could do the first stage against your will. Even if you say you'll never marry me, you say if you're the last man on earth I wouldn't marry you, I'd kill myself before marrying you. I'd say, I think you'll change your mind, and I go to the sofer, I hire him to write the Shtar. And I have it in my pocket, and then talk, you change your mind, and you agree. That's not a crazy havamina at all. You might have had a havamina, that's fine. As long as you agree to accept the shtar, who cares that I wrote it against your will? That you agreed in the end. Kamash malan, no, it's not enough for you to agree at the end. You have to agree from the beginning, which be at the beginning is the end. Kes at the beginning is the end. But in shtar, the beginning is when I write harayim kadeshishli. I can't write harayim kadeshishli until you agree, and that's the kamashulan. In which case, the havamina is very reasonable, and the kamashulan is actually not even so posh that it's true, because it's a machlokas amoraim later on in daftes amid beis. It's a machlokas between Rav Papa and Rav Shravia versus Ravina. Taka, what's the din? Does she need to agree to writing the shtar? Does she not need to agree to writing the shtar? So obviously, our sugya would be going like Rav Papa and Rav Shravia, who say that I need to write the shtar midaita, and Ravina would just hold like the previous answer, which is Tani Agav Seifa. So according to the Rav Yonasan Milunil, he doesn't speak this out. The first answer, that the reason it says Ha'isha Niknes is because it says Ha'isha Kones Atzma, that would be like Ravina, that I can write the shtar against your will. Second answer, to teach me that I need her to agree, that means in the writing of the shtar, and that would be like Rapapa from Shrabi and Daftes and Beis. So he says that, of course, you need her da'as in the end, but the havamina is that he's co-saved the shtar shalomi daita, and kamash malan that that he needs to write the shtar midaita. In which case, the halving is very reasonable. The kamashal is tapia chiddush, and only one sheet in the amoraim, which is okay because this is only one of the two answers in our gemara. That's Rabbi Yonah Simulinil. We're going to leave Rabbi Yonah Simulinil until we get to that sugya of Tesla Bayes, then we'll discuss this fascinating question of how do you write the shtar a little more. But let's now go back to the first two pshatim. Number one, do you actually need her to agree? And number two, how about this question of pluya v'zavin? So, on the level of the pshat, if we say there's really a havamina, that she can really, you can really mikadsha bal karcha, kamashmalan is you need her to agree. The question is, why do you need her to agree? Why do you need her to agree to kiddushin? So Rashi gives two answers in two different places. Not sure why he gives two answers in two different places. There's nothing obvious about the context of those two places, which explains to me why he gives two answers. Maybe someone has another idea. But there are two or maybe two and a half answers. Why? One answer is Rashi and Daf Mem Dalet Amud Aleph, is it? Yulian Ashas, right?
Yeah.
Right? You don't need the Kias for this, and the Meiri here also. He says, Das Makde, it's a general principle. There's a general rule of Das Makde. If I want to get something from you, you have to agree. Okay, general principle. See, I mean, it doesn't seem like you need a lot of alumnus to explain this. Makes perfect sense. The Meiri adds, he just adds that it's impractical. Right? Lo'inachta basla v'ravinu. You wouldn't leave any girl alone. Meaning, like, it's ridiculous. Like, how could you have a world where a girl, she couldn't leave her house because someone might marry her? Right? It's just not practical. Okay, but he's adding that to das machte. Meaning he's saying, like, this is, like, it is pretty obvious. It's the obvious rule of das machte. And it's also, even besides the rule of das machte, like, you can't run society that way. However, Rashi and Yevamos, what is it, Yud Tes Amud Beis, says it's a drasha. The drasha is v'halcha v'haisa l'ish acher. Right, that was in last week's parsha. Right, she goes and she becomes another man's wife. It doesn't say she is taken by another man. It says she goes. She goes means that she has to agree. V'halcha v'haisa, she goes and becomes. Means it's up to her to go and become or not to go and not to become. So therefore, that's a drush of a halcha v'haisa equals midaita. And here, the question becomes, and we're going to also, hopefully we'll have time to get back to some of these things as well. Who agrees with Rashi? The Smag also agrees with Rashi. I think I put it on the chorus. Says the Smag, Eina Isha Miskadesh El Ritzona, Shinemar, V'holcha V'haisa, Mashmasa Mekrishim, Miskadesh Es Midaita. Okay, so the Smag agrees with Rashi in Yevamos. Now, the question becomes, why does Rashi, in Yevamos, why does he need this drasha? What's wrong with the Svar of Das Machta? Meaning, if the Svara, why do you need a drasha? That's a, why does Rashi need a drasha? Right? That's a reasonable question, no? Right? Why does he need a drasha? You don't ask why you need a Svara. Why do you need a drasha? If something's a Svara, you shouldn't need a drasha, the Gemara says in Bava Kamma. So why does Rashi need a drasha of a halcha v'haisa? So I think here you could take it in one of two ways. One direction you could take it is that he thinks misvara, this would be an interesting kiddush, misvara, you don't need das makdem. Maybe Rashi Yevamos holds, no, misvara, you don't need her das. He thinks this is actually a good havamina. Misvara, you don't need das makdem. The only reason you need her das is because you need a drasha from the pasuk. I mean, the Smag says not just a drasha, it's mashmas ha-pasuk, but it's a chiddush of the kasuf. So you can have one of two ways. Misvara, you don't need das makdeh. That would be a big chiddush. To taking this hobbiness seriously. Like, maybe you really don't need the woman's das. Why would you really not need the woman's das? Either maybe Xerisakusov means a Gigafishisha. You know, Misvari would have said, if it says Gigafish, only up to him. Or you might have said, well, you don't need das mach then. This is the Avnu Mum. We'll take this in a slightly different direction. But you might have said, you don't need das mach then because she's not a machna. Why is she not a machna? Because it's not a Kenyan. There's no Kenyan going on here. There's an Isser going on here, right? If you say there's no Kenyan, just an Isser, then who says you need das for an Isser? A lot of Isser Merkal without people's das, right? Many Isser Merkal without people's das. Remember, all the other Arayas are Kal without the person's das, right? So, maybe you could say, a big Kiddush, Misvar, you don't need das machna. Maybe because it's not a Kenyan, just an Isser. Now, I know that this is different than the Ramban. This is the opposite of the Ramban, even. But maybe you'd have thought, well, if it's not a Kenyan, just an Isser, who says an Isser needs people's das? Or maybe, you know, because not as pure Svar, but you would have darshan ki yikach. Or because you would have darshan ki yikach. And then, misvar, you don't need das machne. I'm just going to continue this. Continuation. And then, the kamashmalan, the halcha, the haisa, that you do need her das. That's one way of reading Rashi Nivamos. This would be a little radical. Misvar, you don't need das machne. Maybe it's not a Kenyan. So how do you know you need anyone's das? Maybe he's certain to be chal with anyone's das. Kamash from Mahal Kohai, so you still need her das. That's one way. But I think the Smaig took it a different way. There's a second way to understand Rashi. Misvara, you do need das machna. And maybe even a little, this could help resolve the stira in Rashi, although it doesn't really explain why he says different things in different places. Misvar, you do need das machna. Rashi and Yuvam is not arguing with Rashi and Kedushin Mem Dalet. Misvar, you do need das machna. So what does he need? The Halcha V'Haisa? Misvar, you need das machna. But the Halcha V'Haisa teaches us you need more than das machna. Das machna means you have to agree. The Halcha V'Haisa needs more than das machna. You don't. She doesn't just have to agree. She has to actually desire it. She has to actually. She has to actually want this result. Now, what do I mean by that? I wouldn't just use these words if I didn't mean something practical. Misvar, you do need das machne, but the halcha, the haisa teaches us you need more than das machne. You need ratzon mamish. Exactly. You need ratzon mamish. Now, again, the words are tricky. What do I mean by this? What I mean by this is what the Smag says. The Smag quotes the Rashi Nivamos and then makes a big chiddush. What's the chiddush of the Smag? The Smag reads the Gemara and Bava Basra differently than every other Rishon. I went back to the Gemara and Bava Basra and said, well, what gives him the right to read it that way? It's obviously not what it's saying. But if you read the Gemara and Bava Basra, it's certainly not what it's the smoothest way to be Mepharish the Gemara and Bava Basra. It's certainly not what it sounds like, the Gemara and Bava Basra. But it's not, there's no disproof to the Smag in the Gemara and Bava Basra. It's just a radical piercing of the Sugya, but it is a possible way of interpreting the Sugya. What's the machlokes between the Smag and all the other Rishonim? All the other Rishonim say the Gemara and Bava Basra is talking about which case?
Where he forced her. And the Smag learns the opposite.
It's not the opposite. He didn't force her, she forced him. Or, you know, more likely, the Shver forced him. Right? meaning, it makes no halachic difference. I'm just imagining, you know, what probably happened. It probably wasn't that, you know, in those days, the little girls were going to get married, they're 12 years old. Probably she didn't force him, probably her father forced him, right? Like a shotgun wedding in the Old West. It's that she forced him. That's how the Smag understands the Gemara and Bava Basra. And then what does the Smag say? The Smag says something interesting. He says, V'amekadosh isha b'al korcha ina mekudeshes. Aval ha'ish anshu hu sheikachena bal kochoizim mekudeshes la'meimar l'mar baravashi. Sorry, it's mar baravashi. Ein mekudeshes kadish berkesed habatim. And the onim passed like mar baravashi. What does he say? When he forces her... Did you have a picture of this part already? I can erase it. Here's the interesting question. What's the difference between him forcing her...
She forcing him.
And, exactly, in her, or her side, forcing him. So, how about ones ha'ish versus ones ha'isha, right? So, this is going to start with two totally different ways of understanding the Gemara in Bava Basra. There is Rov Rishonim. Rov Rishonim say that if there's onus of the Isha, meaning, let me just be Tluya Leisha, right? Meaning, not she did the onus, she was the victim, right? Then it's Mikudeshes Min HaTorah and Midrabanan, right? Hifkiyu Akidushin. Right? How about Tluya Leish? Question mark. That's what the Rashi brings down. But now let's just skip to the Smag. Says the Smag, no. Tluya Leisha Eina Mikudeshes Min HaTorah. Tluya Leish, if they force the man, then that's definitely Mikudeshes Min HaTorah, and they go on and pass like Mar Baravashi against the Meimar, so Midrabanan Hifkiyu HaKidushin. So what the Smag says here is that, what he's ultimately saying is that, the woman's das is more crucial, the woman's das is more necessary than the man's. Or rather, both are necessary. You need a higher level of das for the woman than for the man. That's the chiddush of the Smag. If you have our read of the Gemara, I don't think you would say that, necessarily. But the woman needs a higher level of das than the man. It means the man's das, even if you force him, is good enough midoraisa. The woman's das, no, midoraisa, it's not enough to agree. She has to want it. She has to, ligazein, how do you say in English?
Initiate.
She has to initiate it. Beholcha v'haisa. I don't mean she has to mamish initiate the guy. The woman say, will you marry me? She would say, yes. Saying she has to really want to go out there and do it. Here's an interesting question. According to the Smag, the principle is that the woman needs a higher level of da'as than the man. That's the Smag Shita, right? The man's da'as, if you force him, it's good enough. But the woman, no, she needs to have absolute das. She needs to mamish want it. Now, why is this? Why does the Smag think so? Now, I will be honest. You can explain this in one of two ways. You could just say that it's practical. The woman is going to be in more trouble than the man, right? Because she can't divorce herself, while he can divorce himself. So you might just say, well, the man, you know what, even if you force him, that's good enough because he has an escape hatch anyway, so he probably really agreed. After all, how hard is it for men to agree to get married? He always gets divorced. Remember, this is before him to make a show. He could divorce unilaterally.
Right.
He could certainly divorce unilaterally if the guy held a gun to his head. I mean, we'd all consider that to be fair ethical behavior. If you force me, why shouldn't I divorce unilaterally? The girl is stuck. She might never get a get her whole life. So therefore, it might make sense to say she needs to really agree because of the stakes involved. Even if you force him to do, it's good enough. Or rather say, if you force him, he'll in his mind say, you know, I really do agree, what's the difference anyway? She, if you force her, will say in her mind, I really don't agree because I don't want to be stuck with this. So you could just say that it is practical. He will agree because he has an escape hatch. Right? So therefore, he'll agree, but she won't agree under... it's easier to get his das. Because his das is not such a big deal. Her das, if she doesn't really want it, then she won't have das. But you could also say that it's not coincidence that this smog holds like Rosh and Yevamos. Maybe the point of the smog is not, no, it's not that we're going into their minds and figuring out, like, well, how much pressure is there and how bad would it be if they agreed to it and what do we think they really think in their minds? No, it's maybe a halachic point. You could say it is a halachic chiluk. She needs ratzon gomer because of v'holcha v'haisa. Right? By him it says, Aki kachishisha, if he takes her, he does. Not, it doesn't say he has to, like, initiate this, decide to go out, and that it's a good idea for himself. So for him, of course, he has to agree. But if you force him, that's good enough. For her, it's not enough that she agrees. She needs absolute das. She needs v'holcha v'haisa. And if you force her, that's not v'holcha v'haisa. She doesn't need to literally walk. If I meet her in the shuk and I say, would you marry me? And she said, yes, that counts as v'holcha v'haisa. But if I force her, how can you pull out v'holcha v'haisa? She didn't want to go do it. I forced her into it. So it could be that the smack, like these two, meaning it wouldn't be so crazy, for the two halves of the same sentence in the smack to be l'shitase, maybe the smack is l'shitase. He took Rashi Nivamos and he said, watch Shana Rashi Nivamos. Why does he need a drasha? Maybe because misvari, you don't need her das, and the drasha teaches us you do. But I don't love that so much, because even misvari, I think you need her das. So it must be that misvari, you need her regular das. The drush says you need more than regular das. You need her to be 100% agreeing of her own free will. And therefore, he, where there's no special drusha, go by the normal rules. Normal rules of business are if you force someone, it's valid. She, who has a drush of halacha v'haisa, does not go by the normal rules of business. She needs 100% clear, unquestionable das. And therefore, if you force her, even though she has enough das for a regular transaction, you didn't fulfill the halacha v'haisa, and that's why it's puzzle. I'm not saying that's the only way to explain the smag. You could also explain the smag just based on calculations. But that might be shot in the smog.
Even more the practical, just forgetting the get part. The man afterwards, if they break it up, a garusha is the same as before. She's now a garusha. She has all kinds of restrictions on her. So this is a serious thing, because forget whether she can get a get or not. You've changed her.
Okay, correct. But on the other hand, he has to pay tsuba, and you have to figure out what's, it's a good question. Okay. Now let's just get back. The one thing we have to discuss is the discussion of the
Rambam. The Beit Shmuel and the Gross say that the smog had a different girsa in the Gemara.
Correct,
I didn't check it, but...
I mean, there's no way to know. This is where he discusses the Gemara. It doesn't tell you his girsa. This is it.
But the Rambam has the same
smog. It could be the smog has the same girsa and a different girsa in the Gemara. It could be that he just read the Gemara that way. You'll look at the Gemara, you'll see. If you could read it like the smog without changing the girsa, you'll decide on your own. Okay, but clearly the smag is not most Rishonim. You know, I'm sure if you, nowadays, you can find enough obscure Rishonim to find someone who agrees with the smag, but clearly that's a very minority Shita. The standard Shita, the Rishonim on this Gemara, is like the Rambam and the Rashba, and they say for Iter, and most Rishonim who say, no, the Gemara Babasra is about Tluya Leisha. Really, the woman goes by the normal rules. The normal rules are that Tluya v'zavin counts as das makde. Therefore, midoraisa it's valid. But midrabanan, they felt bad for her because this is like a really unfair. There's more of an unfair situation than just selling a house. After all, selling a house, the house is worth $1 million. I sold the house, I got $1 million. I can always buy another house. You know, I like the first house, but it's not the end of the world, right? If I told you you'd be forced to sell your house and buy another nice house, that is really politics. They're just building a highway, eminent domain. Then you'd be annoyed, but it wouldn't be the end of the world, so the chacham aren't going to go and make takanos. But if I tell a girl, no, you're going to be stuck marrying this guy the rest of your life, then that will really be more unfair. That's a real tearjerker. And therefore, chazal made a takana to be mafkia the kedushin. Fine, that's the gemara. But the gemara never discusses, according to the smag, the Gemara never discussed forcing the woman. But he knew Misvara. According to everyone else, the Gemara never discussed forcing the man. What happened if you forced the man? And here you have a Machlokes Rishonim quoted in the Rashba,
With, you know, perhaps even a third shita, in the Chalkas Machol Cake, who probably just didn't have a copy to say for it. Most people, I think, like, the only early Akbar who had a copy of the Sefer Itzer was probably the Shah. He had a copy of everything. But there are three basic shitas. One shita is the Sefer HaItzer. The Sefer HaItzer, it seems pretty clear that he's saying, me de oraisa, not mekudeshes. Eina mekudeshes min HaTorah. The second shita is the Rambam. The Rambam says, Mekudeshes, it's a valid kiddushin. And the third shita is the Chilkas Machoke, what he wants to say for the Itter, which we, even though it's, if you open up the Sefer Itter, it doesn't seem to be what he's saying, but the Talmud Rashba, or what? The Rambam Yad Rama, okay. There's a sefer, I have my makom called Yad Rama Maseches Kedushin. Is that where you saw it? The Yad Rama Maseches Kedushin. There is no Yad Rama Maseches Kedushin. But someone went through all the Rishonim all over Shas, as well as two unpublished, and one maybe since it's been published, two unpublished Kisvei Yad of Rishonim, who we don't know who they are, who quote the Yad Rama sometimes. He put together an artificial book, like a leetcode of everything he found quoted from the Rambam Maseches Kedushin. So he has there, that he holds like the Chalkas Machokek. What does the and the Chalkas Machokek say? They say the same as the woman, Mekudeshes min HaTorah and Midrabanan. Hifkiyu HaKidushin. Again, it's a little unclear, same as for the spy, but why did Rabbanim bother me with Hifkiyu HaKidushin? Why not just tell him to divorce her? But, okay, somehow they decided that they had to put their foot down here, and even though he could just divorce her, they said, no, if he divorced her, then everybody makes it look valid. Maybe other people try this tactic. Maybe they'll sue for the ksuba somehow, and they'll be able to confuse him into paying ksuba. So they just said, we're Hifkiyu HaKidushin. So these are the three shitas about what happens if you force the man. Now, if we leave the Chalkas Machokek aside for now, you know, what he's saying is basically Midoraisa, same as the Rambam. Just, he thinks the Rabbanah made a Takana, and the Rambam thinks the Rabbanah didn't make a Takana. And that could go either way. The Rambam says the Rabbanah didn't make a Takana because let him just write a get. Why do you need a Takana? And he says they still made a Takana because they really just wanted to put their foot down and teach people not to do shenanigans. Seder. But fundamentally, the two main shitas are the Rambam and the Itter. Now, the question is, what is the Svara of the Itter, and what's the Svara of the Rambam? Right? What's the Svara of the Itter? What's the Svara of the Rambam? And here, the Rashba says, let me ask you the following question. And this is just an analytic question we'd want to ask, I think, if we want to try to see, like, what's at the heart of this matter. Are the Rashba and the Itter arguing about something unique about Kiddushin, or about general rules of Mekach u'Memkar? The Rambam in the Itter. What does the Rashba think? So if you look at the Lashon of the Rashba, he says, the Itter says, and it's based off the Lashon of the Itter. The Lashon of the Itter is really best represented in the Me'iri. The Me'iri quotes the Itter, I think, close to what he says, and I also put the Itter on the sheet. He says, what's the difference? She got money. She's a Machne. He's a Kone. He maybe even paid money. Says the Rashba, this is not a Kiddushin Machlokas. This is a Choshe Mishpa Machlokas. The Itter says, Tluya V'zavin Zvine Zvine. If you force someone to sell, it's valid. Tluya V'kani Kinyan Olav Kinyan. If you force someone to buy, it's not valid. Since you're forcing him to buy, it's not valid. And the Rambam says, Tluya V'zavin Zvine Zvine. And Tluya V'kani Kinyan O Kinyan. If you force someone to sell, it's valid. If you force someone to buy, it's valid. Meaning, they both compare the wife to the kala to a seller and the chassan to a buyer. They're not arguing about kiddushin. This is not a kiddushin machlokas. This is a baser machlokas. Right? What's the din if I force you to buy? That's interesting, right? If I hold a gun to your head and say, sell me your house, it's valid. What if I hold a gun to your head and say, buy my house? Is that valid or not? So he says that's the machlokas between the Itter and the Rashba. So what's the svara? says the Rashba, and this is definitely what it sounds like. This is what the Rashba says. This is also what it sounds like in the Sefer HaItter. This is what it sounds like in the Sefer HaItter as well. Says the Rashba that it's really al pi choshen mishpat. The rule is tluya vikani, right? Lo kana tluya v'zavin. Zvine, zvine.
It's a gemara, no?
Tluya v'zavin is a gemara. Tluya v'kani is not a gemara. Right. So let's just say even a little better. Even though, right. Al pichoshen mishpat, tluya v'zavin works, but tluya v'kani doesn't work. Okay, why that is? It could be this really sounds like machlokes in the Sofos and Nesivos and Seven Tests. If you look there in the beginning, hey, maybe it sounds more like maybe it's just the money. Then we're keep talking about money. If you give someone money, then even under pressure, they'll really agree. But if you don't give someone money, say buy my house, I'm giving you the house, but I'm not giving you money, then it's harder to get someone to agree. Then they're not going to agree. Or maybe it's more lumdish. We're not getting into this now, but I think we discussed this many years ago when we learned about Metzia. You know, who's really doing a kinyan? When I sell you something, am I giving it to you and you're agreeing to take it, or are you taking it and I'm agreeing to let it go? If you assume that really the Kona does the kinyan, the Mac that just lets it go, then we understand the Mac that you can force and he'll let it go. The Kona, he's doing the kinyan, he has to really want it. Okay, but whatever the svara is, it's a choshen mishpat svara.
You force money to be mapped
or something? Pash does not, but he's looking at this from a Kenyan perspective. Pash does not. Although, tricky. We're going to get back to that. You could also say, although this is not what it sounds like in the Sefer HaItter, but this is not what it sounds like in the Sefer HaItter, I admit. And, all right. Let's not. What's the svara of the Rambam? What's the svara of the Rambam? The svara of the Rambam is, do you have any space? Okay, I think you're going to have to help me out here. I apologize.
It's not a problem with the Rambam that Chazal doesn't say, by Mechira. It's a chiddush of Chazal that the Toli Mezavin works. We wouldn't know it without Chazal, would we?
But the Rashba says Kol Shekein. The Rashba says Kol Shekein. Now, it's an interesting Kol Shekein. But let me just make myself some space here. Sorry. What's the svara of the Rambam? So the Rashba says, you know what the svara of the Rambam is? It's also just al pi choshen mishpat, tluya v'zavin works, and certainly tluya v'kani works. Okay, now it's an interesting debate. But what the Rashi basically says that there's nothing special about kedushin. They're arguing about mekach u'memkar. The Itter says if you force someone to sell, it works. But if you force someone to buy, it doesn't work. So if you force the woman, it works. If you force the husband, it doesn't work. The Rambam says, no, if you force someone to sell, it works. If you force someone to buy, it also works. And therefore, if you force the woman, it works. If you force the man, it also works. That's how the Rashba understands the svara of the Rambam. Exactly. He even says Kol Shekein. However, the Meiri and the Avdu Miluim explain a little differently the Rambam. The Meiri says for the Rambam,
says, Al pi choshen mishpat, with a twist. What does he mean? He means really the Rambam agrees, and I apologize, we could spend a few days figuring out why the Erga Tluya Zav and why the Erga Tluya B'Kani and the nature of Zav and the nature of Kani, and but we're not going to do that now. Maybe when we learn about Vasra. The means Al pi choshen mishpat, the twist. What does it mean? It means Tluya V'Kani usually doesn't work because he wouldn't really agree, you know, in his heart, right, to pay money and get an object. Meaning, usually, if you force someone to buy, it wouldn't work because, you know what, selling is better than buying. What's the svar? If I force you to sell, you've lost your house, but you got money. With money, you could buy anything you want. So you're not so bad off. But if I force you to buy, you spent your money, and now you bought maybe a house that's in the wrong neighborhood. Maybe you bought a horse, but you don't need a horse. Maybe you bought a Lexus, but you didn't want to plan to drive a Lexus. Maybe you bought, you know, a, whatever it is. You know, you bought a side of beef, but you're a vegetarian. Who knows what you bought, right? You bought something that's not so useful. Money is more useful than anything. So therefore, usually, Tluya V'Kani doesn't work because if I pressure you and you really don't want to do it, you really won't agree inside, even under pressure. I held a gun to your head. You didn't really come around and agree in your heart. You're like, I'm giving up my money and I'm getting this thing. That's ridiculous. But in this case, the man gave up very little in order to get a wife. So he agrees. In this case, he gave up very little, so he agrees. That's what the Me'iri says. The Me'iri says it's like Choshen Mishpat, just a twist, not a lumdish twist. Just you have to know. If you say, I force you to buy my car for 50,000 shekel, then I won't really agree, because I don't need the car. I need the 50,000 shekel for buying a house. But if you say, I force you to acquire this wife for a Sheva Pruta, I say, you know what? I'll agree, because even though I'm losing a Sheva Pruta that I could have used to buy a lollipop, and I'm getting a wife that I didn't necessarily want, it's just a Sheva Pruta. I'm not paying real money. I'm just paying a Sheva Pruta. And then he says, and even though also now I can't marry her sister, and now I can't marry her mother, most people didn't plan to marry.
And you have to support her.
No, so I can give her a get.
Is it an okimta that it's for a small amount?
Yes, the okimta would have to be it's for a small amount. If I said, if I forced you to mekadesh her with $1 million, it wouldn't work. But the okimta is that it was a pruta, and therefore, basically, the Me'iri is just saying to the Rashba, you don't have to think the Rambam has a different shita than the Itter and Choshen Mishpat. He agrees with the Itter and Choshen Mishpat. He just thinks that this case is different because you're only paying a pruta, and I assume the same would be true in a house. If I force you to buy a house for a pruta, then it would also work. If I force you to buy a car for a pruta, it would also work. Meaning, if I force you, I'm selling a Lexus, and I force you to pay $100,000 to buy the Lexus, it wouldn't work. But if I force you to buy a Lexus for $20, it would work, because what's $20? You know, it's easy to agree to. Who wouldn't agree to that? Even though I had to force you, but of course you really agree. Okay, now, again, if we were learning more about Kinyanin, we could then ask, so then why does the Itter not agree with the Me'iri Svara? Is he changing the Okimta? Is he have a very different idea about why you can't force someone to acquire? But we're going to stick to Kiddushin for now, and we're going to learn. The last shot is the Avnei Miluim. The Avnei Miluim here, you know, I wanted to use a Lashon of how he like blows up the whole sugya, whatever, but you know, this is not the decade for such mushels. He reinvents the whole sugya. He turns everything upside down. The Avnei Miluim says no. This is not until now. Everyone has been like just comparing this to Choshen Mishpat and then figuring out maybe it's more worth it, maybe it's less worth it. He says no. This is not about comparing this to Choshen Mishpat. The sheet of the Rambam is Davka, that Evan Ezra is different than Choshen Mishpat, says the Avnei Miluim. He says, Tluya Vikani usually doesn't work. He makes a he says it is fundamentally different. Usually Tluya Vikani doesn't work. But that's talking about Kinyanim. Because you need Das Kone, and this doesn't count as Das Kone. Usually Tluya Vikani doesn't work. But that's because Kinyanim need a lot of Das. But remember the Amlin Lun Shitase? He says Kinyan Kaspo. It doesn't really mean a Kinyan. It means Kinyan Isser. He says, really, I can't marry someone else's wife if there wasn't a big Isser there, because he doesn't really own anything. He was, right, the champion of the Isser side and downplaying the Kinyan side of Kiddushin when he talked about Kiddushin in general. So the Avni Lulun Lishitase, there's three Avni Lulun in the course of a week Lishitase. Again, one where he says Kinyan really means Kinyan Isser. Two, where he says, I really can marry your wife if there wouldn't be a Chiv Kares right. Because you don't own anything. And three, right here he says, Kinyanim need a lot of Das. He says, but this isn't a Kinyan, this is an Isser. An Isser doesn't need so much, it doesn't need so much Das, but since there is no Kinyan, just Isser, the standards of Das are lower. And here, here says the Avnei Lulun with Big Chiddush. He says a Big Chiddush in the Rambam. The truth is, then he wants to go back and say the Itter really agrees. The Itter is just a rabbanim to the Choshenish because the Chelkas Bechokik Svara. Which again, in the Itter itself doesn't sound that way. But the Avnei Lulun says, no, the Rambam, he's the first person who says there's a Kedushin angle on this Sukya, not just a Choshenish, but angle on this Sukya, on this Machlokis. He says, the Rambam thinks that really this wouldn't work if you were buying a horse, or if you were buying a house, or if you were buying a car. But since you're not buying a wife, you are just making an Isser in the wife. Okay, so how much Das do you need to make an Isser? You shouldn't need so much Das to make an Isser. It's not an actual transaction. It's just a prohibition. Prohibitions don't need so much Das, right? If I want to make something an idol and then it'll be prohibited as Avodah Zarah, I don't need to have a full level of transactional commitment. Isserim require a lower level of Das. Now, and Nidarim, etc. Now, Yesh L'ayin in these things, but that's Yesh L'ayin the assumption. That's the assumption of the Elohim. And Morty, and then I want to end.
This totally against everything we said in the
I've been keeping track. It's 9:43.
That's totally against everything we said in the first year about Das and Kedushin and getting married.
Okay, so hold that thought. This Avnei Milum is a big Chiddush. It's a big Chiddush not because of his assumption that Kedushin is Isser, not Kenyan. But say here that we have lots of, not just he in other places, we have lots of people to back him up there. His assumption that because it's Isser, not Kenyan, therefore, we suffice with a lower standard of Das. This is not clear, because the Rav had a Masorah from his grandfather. Rav Chaim, that there's a, okay, we'll have to get to this, Mishem. There's a difference between Choshenish and Nebuchadnezzar. There's a difference between Kedushin and buying a house, in terms of Eidos. If I buy your car, you need two Eidim to prove that I bought your car. But what if I buy your car without Eidim? Is it valid?
Sure.
It's valid. I just can't prove it. It might be foolish, right? If you're not a trustworthy fellow, I might have done something foolish. But Dini Mamanos, you don't need Eidos L'Kiyum Hadavar, right? You need Eidos L'Biur Hadavar. You don't need Eidim present at the time. If you want to prove it, you'll bring Eidim, and if everyone's honest, then you don't need Eidim. By Kiddushin, we know you need Eidos L'Kiyum Hadavar. The Gemara never says quite so explicitly exactly why there's this difference. There might... What? Yeah, but maybe that just means to prove that I need to aid him. How do we know I need to aid him? After all, that's learned from Mamon, Dabar Dabar Mimon. So says the famous question. If the only way we know you need to aid him in Kiddushin is because we learned Dabar Dabar or Xer Shavar from Mamon, how come in Mamon you need to aid him in court, but it works? In Kiddushin, even if we're both honest, if I'm Kaddish and go over that aid him, it doesn't work. Not that I can't prove it, it doesn't work. That's called Eidos L'Kiyum HaDabar. Things only Mekoyim, it only exists. So, the Rav has a Masorah from Rav Chaim. This is maybe could be found a hint of in the famous Rav Chaim in Hilchos Yom HaChalitza, Perek Dalet, but I only heard it indirectly. The Rav had a Masorah from his grandfather that the reason for this is because Kiddushin requires a higher standard of Das than Kinyanim. Kinyanim, you just need regular Das. The absence of the Lulun. Kinyanim, you just need regular Das Matna. You know, the Amnon was at least talking about the man's side, but the Rav was the Rechaim talking about both sides. Can you mean a regular das machta? Meaning, I need to agree the way regular people, you know, regular goyim in the street agree to do things that might cost money, which is, you know. But Kiddushin, I'm giving this person a ring, and all of a sudden, we're married forever, and also Kuliyama Kehektish, and there's all these implications beyond what seems to be going on in front of us, right? It has these really transcendent implications, right? This is a very big deal, Kiddushin Girushin. And not only a very big deal psychologically, because who I'm marrying affects my life more than what car I buy, or what horse I ride, but even alpilandus, because I am giving you a ring, and I'm creating all kinds of isurim and hekdeshim and all kinds of nafgaminas, and you know, I'm creating a lot more than we see going on in front of us. So therefore, by the Hebrew Rav had a sorer from his grandfather. The reason you need Eden present is because they make sure that you're super duper serious and committed. What you do in front of two Eidim, you're doing with a higher level of commitment than what you do in private. Right? That's clear. If people are watching you, then you double check and think about, am I absolutely committed to this? Am I sure this is exactly what I mean, no more, no less? So that's the Rav's Masorah from his grandfather. I didn't say it says so in Reb Chaim. Maybe we'll get a chance, Leenad will for sure get a chance to read the Reb Chaim that's closest to this in the Hebrew. The Rav is that Kiddushin needs a higher level of Das. I think Bein Mitzad Eish. Needs a higher level of das than regular transactions. Okay, so this is a fundamental machlokes.
Das might be different than rotzon. Here we're talking about rotzon.
Okay, fair enough. I will. That's a very, very good point. That is a very good point, and we'll have to come back to that because that's a very sharp point. You know, what Zev was saying, there might be a difference between how seriously you're considering what you're doing versus how deeply you want it. Right? Okay. Zev's point notwithstanding, I'll just point out that, even though maybe it shouldn't be notwithstanding, but nonetheless, Zev's point notwithstanding, I'll point out, the Avnilum says here, because Kiddushin is not a regular transaction, it requires a lower level of Das, and that's the Yesod of the Rambam. The Rav understood from his grandfather that because Kiddushin is not a regular transaction, it requires a higher level of Das than regular Kinyanim. And then he tied that into the whole issue of Aegis Lakiyam Adabra, which we'll come back to more than one occasion this year, Be'ezrat Hashem. Here, I'm going to say something which is very hard because there's no basis. The Rambam and Ravid might have a machlokis within this halacha. The Ravid says to the Rambam, and I'll leave this for you to think about because I just have possibilities, but I don't have good concrete evidence. It says, V'hushi yomer rotzani. It only works if the husband says rotzani. It's a long mishnah there. Tremendous machlokes in the mafarshim. A, do the Rambam and Ravid disagree? Maybe the Rambam also meant you have to say rotzani, and the Ravid was just, you know, muttering him for no reason. Or, maybe they really do disagree. But if they disagree, what do they think about v'hushi nishvat? Do they both agree you have to say Rotzani and Choshen Mishpat, but the Rambam's Meikel here, you don't need Rotzani? Or do they both agree you don't need Rotzani and Choshen Mishpat, and the Ravid's Machmir here, you need Rotzani? And that becomes very difficult because the Achronim have trouble proving this because we're not sure like what else counts as Rotzani. So even if you find a case, like how do you know if he said Rotzani or something equivalent to Rotzani in that case or he didn't? So this is a big mess and it's very hard to concretely know what's going on. I will just point out that what comes out is that there is a possibility that the Rambam here says you need a lower level of Das than in Choshen Mishpat. Because in Choshen Mishpat you need to say Rotzani. Here it works even if you don't say Rotzani. That would work well for the Avnei Miloim. It also could be the Ravid says you need a higher level of Das here. That's how the Ma'amim Mishnah understood and then in Choshen Mishpat. Normally if I force you it works without Rotzani, but here it only works if you say Rotzani. That would work well for the Rav, in the name of his grandfather, you need a higher level of Das. Here again, Zev's point, unfairly notwithstanding. It's hard for me to prove one way or the other, because even within the Achronim, it's hard to come to firm, you know, they don't come to firm conclusions. So I will leave that as food for thought. Okay, we didn't get to Esrog, but Baruch Hashem, there'll be another Shir. And Mirtz Hashem on Monday, we'll pick up with Esrog, so we will do the last part of the Makoros, as well as finish up the Indian of Esro. And I think probably also I'd like to on Monday finish up the non-Kedushin parts, and then hopefully even this year we will go on to the next Kedushin Sugya, which is not next year, but maybe next week, the next Kedushin Sugya, which is Chalitin.